You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Now we are in this series called Unwavering, and in this series, we are looking at the life of Abraham. We are looking at the man who is called the father of faith. We're trying to see how we can live out a life of faith as well. If you have read the text in Genesis, or even in Acts, or in Romans, you will begin to see that Abraham was not perfect. He was a human after all, that even though he was called the father of faith, he still made mistakes. He had a lot of blunders in his life, and because of God's faithfulness, he was able to fulfill God's promises for him and even experience what God has promised for his life and for his family. Now, in week one, we have talked about faith and relationship, that it was God who initiated a relationship with us. We have just responded to this initiation of relationship coming from God. Now, in week two, we've talked about faith and the Word, that our faith needs to be anchored on the Word of God. For our faith to be strong, it needs to be anchored on the Lord Jesus Christ, the very foundation of who we are, our faith, our belief, and the very foundation of the whole creation. Now, this afternoon, we're going to talk about faith and purpose. How God has given us purpose in our lives and how we can be able to fulfill that purpose. We're going to look at the life of Abraham as we look at God's purposes for our lives. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8. It says here, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in the tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Verse 11, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." In verse 12, it says there, "Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." Abraham, the father of the faithful. As we look at the text that we have read, Hebrews 11 gives us a full picture of the completion of God's work in the life of Abraham. We would begin to see in that whole text that God's purpose was completed from beginning to end, and thereby calling Abraham the father of faith as we know of him right now. If we try to zoom in or take a deeper look at the life of Abraham, we would begin to see that the life of Abraham was not smooth sailing at all. He had some rocky roads along the way. Because if we try to look at Hebrews 11, we would think that the life of Abraham and Abraham's faith was perfect. But if we try to zoom in and take a look at his background, we would begin to see that it wasn't so. That his life of faith or journey of faith wasn't perfect after all. I can really identify with Abraham because my faith journey in God or with the Lord isn't smooth sailing at all. There are a lot of times, even in a day, that our faith will be tested. That our faith will begin to waver. We'll begin to see a big situation coming up ahead and we'll begin to waver in our faith. And Abraham experienced all of these things. Abraham had a lot of big situations in his life and had a lot of mistakes in his life as well in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. In looking at the life of Abraham, there are several things that we would begin to understand. That we may miss out on God's purposes and promises for our lives, but He will begin to bring everything into completion. That is because He is faithful. That His purpose is over and above our failures. This is a hope for us. Because God's purpose will still prevail even if we fail. Even if we will commit mistakes. That God's purpose overrides our shortcomings. And lastly, that in the end, God's purpose will be fulfilled through us, and His glory will be displayed in us. God would want us to experience His glory as we fulfill His purpose in our lives. And that is what happened to Abraham. And looking at the life of Abraham as well, we would begin to see that God's purposes and plans, He will not begin to open it up in one whole picture that we'll be able to see na this is the beginning and the end. God will slowly unfold His plans and purposes in our life as we keep on moving in faith. Dili, one time, big time, na nakita na dayo na to ang plano ni Lord. God will just begin to unfold it page by page as we keep on moving in faith. Also, God's purpose will flow in us. That He will use human tools for Him to be able to accomplish His purpose. Now, this gives me a lot of hope and joy because God would want to partner with me in fulfilling His purpose. Now, who among you are glad that God would want to partner with us? That as His kingdom would move and grow, we are there taking part of the glory that He has. Now, in the journey of Abraham, let's look at verse 4. It says there, "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." So when God called Abraham, Abraham obeyed. He said, "Go," and Abraham went. But if we begin to look at this one, even at the very beginning, Abraham was disobedient. It says there that Abraham went together with Lot. Abraham took Sarah and Lot. Why did I say that from the beginning, Abraham was already making mistakes, making blunders? It's because what God said was, "Get out of your country and away from your relatives and come to the land that I will show you." He went together with Lot. He brought Lot together with him. And it was a direct violation of God's instruction. God said, "Away from your relatives." And He was bringing with Him his relative. From the very beginning, Abraham was already disobedient. And sometimes, most of us are like that. God begins to give us instruction, but because there are a lot of things in our life that we think are important to us, but are not necessary for the journey, we bring a lot of things with us. We bring a lot of baggages. And we can see there that when He brought Lot, later on, he will have trouble. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 7, it says there, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock." If he hadn't brought Lot with him, he wouldn't have any competition within his family. But because he brought Lot, there was some sort of strife in the family. When we bring baggages in our life, sometimes we have to pay for it, and it would be costly. Imagine, magsakay kag eroplano and you're bringing a lot of baggage. So you will have to pay for it, and paying in the airport of an extra baggage is costly. Now for us in our lives, there are things in our journey that we keep on carrying that is not really necessary for the journey that we have. Sometimes we have a lot of fear, we have a lot of bitterness, we have a lot of anger in us that hinders us from being able to enjoy the journey. Unnecessary baggage will cause unnecessary troubles. And when we begin to understand and hear from God with all clarity, I hope and pray that we will begin to follow God in every instruction that He has for us. So Abraham brought together with him Lot, and in verse 5 he said, "When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land." Verse 7, it says there, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." And verse 8, "From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and he called upon the Lord." Going back to verse 6, it says there, "When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through to the place at Shechem." Now, we have to understand that during this time, Abraham was already in the promised land. He was in Canaan. He was already able to fulfill the promise of God that "I will bring you to the promised land." And not just that, when Abraham arrived at the promised land, he received yet another promise. It said there in verse 7, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar. Who among you have read the text that Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey? It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and he was right there at the center of God's will for his life. And not just for him, but also to his offspring. But take a look at verse 8. It says there, "From there he moved to the hill country of the east of Bethel." Now the question there is that, why do they have to move? When Abraham was already at the center of the will of God, why did he have to move? It's important that we have to take note in verse 6, it says there, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. When Abraham arrived in the promised land, there were people occupying the land. And if we look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, we would be able to see there a definition of the Canaanite people. In verse 28, it says there, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and were large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak. The descendants of Anak were giants. So meaning to say, when Abraham arrived there as a shepherd, he was faced with people who are strong, built for war or whatever that is. If you remember Moses, when he sent out 12 spies, they begin to fear even though they have seen that the land of the promise was flowing with milk and honey because of these people. Now, Abraham probably moved out of the land of Canaan to the hill country because of fear and discomfort. It could be that he moved out of the promise of God for him because of fear and discomfort. Now, a lot of times, we know that we're already on the promise of God for our life. But because there's a lot of things that are happening in our life, we would begin to have fear in our hearts and we will begin to feel discomfort that we would want to move out of this place. Remember, he was already at the center of God's promise for his life. But he chose to move out. Why? Because of fear and discomfort. A lot of times, as God's people, we move out of God's promise or the center of God's will because of just fear and discomfort. If we look at verse 9, it says there, Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now, when Abram settled in the hill country, he wasn't enough. He moved out from the center of God's will for his life. He wasn't enough. He was in the hill country and he was looking at the Canaanite people. Now, these people are strong. Might as well move a little bit further. So he moved a little bit further in the area of Negev. Now, when we go back to verse 8, it's important that we have to take note of this place because this is a place wherein God would eventually bring back Abraham. This is a place wherein Abraham met a crossroad that he would have to begin to make a decision whether I have to go back to the promised land or to move away from it because of fear and discomfort. It's a crossroad. It's a place wherein he has to make a difficult decision. He chose in verse 9 to journey on, still going toward the Negev. The Negev is the southernmost area of the land of Canaan. Abram was still in the land of the promise, but he was on the border of the promise, not really at the center of the promise. And one thing that we have to understand about this region of the Negev is that this region was divided in two parts. There was a part in the northern area wherein it was a wetland, meaning to say it's good for crops, it's good for plants. Now there's another area wherein it's a dry land, that it easily becomes barren. Now when Abraham was in this place, we would begin to look at verse 10 that there came a famine in the land. Having located in this region, in this area wherein there's a dry land and there's a wetland, possibly dali lang mahurot ang iyang resources during the famine. When famine strikes, dali lang nahurot iyang resources because there was an area of that place that has been barren, a dry land. So if he could have stayed in Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, he could have had provision. But because he chose to move in this place, his resources easily gone dry. We have to look at this word famine right here. There are several things that we can understand or we can learn from this famine. First is that as believers, we have some of the same problems with non-believers. Meaning to say that as believers, we will still experience sickness. We will still experience financial lack. We will still experience relational disputes. We will still have the same problems as to non-believers. Second, believers have an additional challenge than non-believers. Why? Because it is God's promise. In the New Testament, God promised that we will experience persecution. So it's an additional challenge for us believers. So if we could have been non-believers, then okay lang. There's no added challenge. There's no persecution. But because we chose to obey God, we have an additional challenge. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says there that as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will begin to experience persecution. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now lastly, we could be at the center of God's will, yet we will still experience trials. It's not an assurance that we are at the center of God's will that we will not experience trial. In fact, God promised that if we are right there at the center, our faith will be tested. Abraham's faith was tested. What was Abraham's response during that time? The time of famine? Of course. Abraham did what a good man would do. He went to Egypt. He went to Egypt because during that time, Egypt was not experiencing famine. There's a lot of provision in the land of Egypt. So my point here is that Abraham went to the land of Negev, a border of Canaan. Dool na siya sa dili promised land. He was staying at the border. And my point here is that when we stay too close to the border, boundary between God's will and our own, and storms hit, falling to the other side would be a great possibility. If we stay too close at the border, gamay na lang tulod, we'll be falling on the other side. We have to stay at the center of God's will for our lives. Now, verse 10, it says there, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. He brought everything he has in the land of Egypt. We have to understand that it wasn't a bad thing for Abram to think about the welfare of his family. His family needs to eat. And it's not just Sarai and Lot that need to eat. We have to understand that he had herds. He had animals for him to feed. And it wasn't a bad thing for a man in the house to think about the welfare and provision for his family. But the thing is, Abraham didn't seek God. Abraham didn't ask God for what to do next. We would never see in that account that Abraham asked God, Lord, what should I do? Abraham just saw the situation and just moved right there and then. When we take matters into our own hands and never try to seek God's counsel about it, there we will experience troubles. We have to seek God's counsel over the decisions that we have made. Faith involves trusting in the wisdom of God in the fulfillment of His plan. When we try to do things our own way, that's the time we will begin to experience troubles. But if we seek God, even if we are experiencing trials in our life and we remain at the center of His will, He will never leave us. He will never leave us without provision. He will never leave us in a place without security. If we just try to trust God and His wisdom over His purpose for our life. As we continue going down to verse 11, it says there, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. So meaning to say, his wife was very beautiful. At age 65 years old, his wife was still beautiful. His wife was still attractive to a lot of people. And this is a good thing. But during this time, Abraham didn't see it as a good thing. He saw it as a threat. Why? Because in Egypt, the Pharaoh might be attracted to his wife and he might get killed. He said, and when Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Abraham, as good as he is, he skimmed his way through God's purpose in his life. He even used his wife to escape death. Who among you who would want to have a husband like that? Would sell his wife so that he will be protected, so that he will be secured. I hope no husbands would do that here. Abraham, in his good character, did that. That's the kind of man Abraham was. He was willing to sacrifice his wife so that he will be able to live in comfort. In verse 13, it says there, say you are my sister, that it may go well with me. See, he was just thinking about himself. When he moved out of the land of the promise, he became another man. Abraham became selfish, self-centered, just thinking about himself so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Abraham skimmed his way to God. Now, when we move out of the will of God, we enter into Satan's will. We could either be with God or an enemy of God. I hope we choose to be a friend of the Lord. Another thing, when we move out of the will of God, sometimes the first casualty is our relationships. If we look at the life of Abraham, when he moved out of the promised land, ultimately his relationship with Sarai was compromised. When he entered Egypt, his relationship was destroyed. Who among you would, as a wife, could honestly say that it was a painful thing for Sarai? Your husband sold you to Pharaoh. You were sold. And instead of having a man in your life that will die to protect you, here's a man that will sell you so that he could be in a place of comfort. No woman would be deserving of that one. But Abraham did that. That's our father of faith. Abraham did what was so unthinkable. Such a great sin that Abraham did. Now in verse 16, it says there, and for her sake he dealt with him, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. When they lied to the Pharaoh or to the king gave him a lot of things. Meaning to say, Abraham was able to solve his financial issues. He became rich in the land of Egypt. But sometimes our wealth could not and may not be God's will for our life, especially if we skim our way through it. His trip solved his problem financially, but it messed up his relationship with his wife. In the pursuit of having a good life, I hope and pray that we will not sacrifice our relationships, our family, just for us to have the material things that we need, the comfort that we need. Wealth is a good thing. God would want to give us wealth, but sometimes wealth may not be God's will for us. Being wealthy might not be God's will for your life as well, because it might mess up your character. It might mess up your relationship with your family and ultimately with God. In verse 14, it says there, when Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Verse 15, and when the princess of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Abraham didn't totally lie about his relationship because, in fact, Sarai was his half-sister. During their time, it was a normal thing for you to marry your half-sister. But he said a white lie. Whether it's a small lie or a big lie, still, it's a compromise. And when we compromise, sometimes we can be in a lot of trouble because of that single compromise. R.A. Bar David said, when we are doing things that are not clearly what God told us to do, we can easily find ourselves entering troubles that we didn't plan in the very first place. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says there, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. What happened to Abraham? He feared man, and he tried to please man. Instead of fighting for his wife, he gave his wife up, so that he would be comfortable. He would get what he wanted. What about Sarai? Did Sarai do the right thing to obey her husband? When Abraham said, we have to lie. You have to tell the Pharaoh that you are my sister and not my wife. Did Sarai do the right thing? Now we have to understand that biblical submission does not mean that a wife should follow her husband in sin. Sarai did what is not right in the eyes of God. In verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh, his house, with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Now we have to understand that it wasn't just because of the lying of Abraham, it wasn't just his relationship with his wife that was messed up. He also messed up the lives of other people. The Pharaoh and the people in Egypt were living their life. But because Abraham lied to Pharaoh, the whole household of Pharaoh was afflicted. Meaning to say, we could also mess up the lives of the people that surround us because of the simple sins that we are tolerating in our life, no matter how small that is. One single compromise could lead to devastation in the people that surround us. Now in Genesis chapter 12 verse 20, Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. God intervened in the life of Abraham. Because if God hadn't intervened, Abraham could have messed up the whole covenant that he had with God. He could not just mess up his life or the life of Pharaoh, but we have to understand that Jesus Christ would come from the lineage of Sarai and Abraham. If God didn't intervene, Sarai could have ended up another wife of Pharaoh, thereby hindering the messianic promise of God, thwarting the entire plan of God. God intervened in the life of Abraham. Now for us, we might have done a great thing in our life that have messed up our destiny. But if we just begin to trust God and in His intervention, we would begin to see that God will fulfill His purposes and promises in our life. We are not perfect, just the same as Abraham. He was not perfect. But because God was faithful, he was able to see the fulfillment of God's promise in his life. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. When I look at the life of Abraham, it gives me comfort. It gives me comfort that the father of faith that we have is also a messed up man. Some of you, right here, right now, you think about the things that you have done in the past that's still haunting you today. My hope and prayer is that you begin to trust God over your life. That you will begin to trust that God would intervene in your situation. If you think you are in a mess right now, begin to trust that God would intervene. Begin to pray that God would move in your situation. Do not act and put things in your hands. Na Lord, wala man kagagimok, ako na lang. Lord, tabangan tikaw, Lord, yung moragaliso, dagay ka, Lord. In our situation, in our problems, in our trials, let us begin to trust God. If we can trust God's power, why can't we trust God's wisdom? God will fulfill His promises. Looking at the life of Abraham, if we just end up here, Abraham is a messed up man. But God is not like that. God in His faithfulness, He is a God of restoration. God is a God of restoration. If you think you are like Abraham today, then there is hope for you. There is hope for me. There's hope for all of us here because our God will restore us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. When Pharaoh knew that Sarai was indeed the wife of Abraham, gikik out niya si Abraham og tanan niyang household sa land of Egypt. Sometimes, kailangan tang i-kick out ni Lord sa Egypt na to so that we will go back to His promised land. Sometimes, we become so comfortable in our Egypt that God would want to kick us out using non-believers so that we would go back to His promised land. Look at what happened to Abraham. God used Pharaoh to kick Abraham out together with his entire family, entire household, so that he would go back to the land of the promise. They went back to the land of Negev. They were right back where they started. Now in verse 2, now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. And this verse right here is the very first time the Bible speaks about a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that was rich. This is the very first account in the Bible that talks about a believer of God that is rich. In verse 3, and he journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. You remember the crossroad wherein Abraham made a decision to go to Egypt? Now, God brought Abraham back to that place. To the place wherein Abraham first messed up. In verse 3, continued to the place where he had made an altar at the first, and there Abraham called upon the Lord. Now what happened to Abraham? Abraham messed up. Abraham sold his wife. Abraham, instead of being a blessing to the land of Egypt, brought a curse to that land. Now, we have to remember that God's plan for Abraham was to become a blessing of many nations. But when he went to Egypt, he brought a curse. What did God do to Abraham? God brought him back. That means to say that God brought Abraham to repentance. That is also the same thing that God would do in our personal lives. That when we move out of God's promises, outside of God's will for our life, God would want to bring us back to that land of promise. And he uses repentance to do so. He said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you have at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." God brought back Abraham to that place wherein he made an altar, to that place wherein he started to mess up. And that is the same thing that God would want to do in our lives. God would want to bring us to that place when we first messed up. God would want to make us realize what sin we have done. And God would want to make us acknowledge that we have been separated from Him. It's because of our own foolishness. Even if we are believers, we are so-called Christians, we will still make blunders. We will still make mistakes. We will still make a lot of sins in our lives. But God would intervene, because He wants His plans and purposes in your life to be fulfilled. God would intervene. And the only key, looking at the life of Abraham to his restoration, was repentance. Repentance is key for our restoration. The only way for us to be reconciled back to God is if we repent from our sins. If we repent from our mistakes, if we repent from our shortcomings, if we acknowledge that, "Lord, it is I who violated the terms of our covenant. It is I who stepped out away from your promised land for me. That, Lord, it was I who feared my situation. That's why I moved out. I allowed myself to be placed in a border wherein it was easy for me to be tempted." A lot of times, we are Christians living in the border of our faith. It's hard for us to see God's promise because it's black with hills that we chose to travel. And it's easy for us to see the Egypt in our place and be tempted by the prosperity that it offers. Now, we might be in a place of prosperity, but if we are not standing in the promise or in the will of God in our lives, we will never find true joy. We will never find true contentment. There's one theologian who said, "It's better for me to stand in the will of God and experience troubles rather than staying outside of the will of God, living my life in comfort." We will be able to fulfill God's purpose in our life despite our failures because He is faithful. God is faithful. He was, He is, and will forever be faithful.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.